Prisons are important to the economy of Leavenworth County, Kansas. The two state penitentiaries, one for each sex, are situated there. So is Leavenworth, the largest federal prison, and, at Fort Leavenworth, the country's principal military prison, the grim United States Army and Air Force disciplinary barracks. If all the inmates in these institutions were let free, they could populate a small city. The oldest of the prisons is the Kansas State Penitentiary for Men, a turreted black and white palace that visually distinguishes an otherwise ordinary rural town, Lansing. Built during the Civil War, it received its first resident in 1864. Nowadays, the convict population averages around 2,000. The present warden, Sherman H. Krause, keeps a chart which lists the daily total according to race. For example, white, 1,405, colored, 360, Mexicans, 12, Indians, 6. Whatever his race, each convict is a citizen of a stony village that exists within the prison's steep, machine-gun-guarded walls, 12 gray acres of cement streets and cell blocks and workshops. In a south section of the prison compound, there stands a curious little building, a dark, two-storied building shaped like a coffin. This establishment, officially called the Segregation and Isolation Building, constitutes a prison inside a prison. Among the inmates, the lower floor is known as the hole, the place to which difficult prisoners, the hard rock troublemakers, are now and then banished. The upper story is reached by climbing a circular iron staircase. At the top is death row. The first time the clutter murderers ascended the staircase was late one rainy April afternoon. Having arrived at Lansing after an 8-hour, 400-mile car ride from Garden City, the newcomers had been stripped, showered, given close haircuts, and supplied with coarse denim uniforms and soft slippers. In most American prisons, such slippers are a condemned man's customary footwear. Then armed escorts marched them through a wet twilight to the coffin-shaped edifice, hustled them up the spiral stairs and into 2 of the 12 side-by-side cells that comprise Lansing's death row. The cells are identical. They measure 7 by 10 feet and are unfurnished except for a cot, a toilet, a basin, and an overhead light bulb that is never extinguished night or day. The cell windows are very narrow, and not only barred but covered with a wire mesh black as a widow's veil. Thus, the faces of those sentenced to hang can be but hazily discerned by passers-by. The doomed themselves can see out well enough. What they see is an empty dirt lot that serves in summer as a baseball diamond, beyond the lot a piece of prison wall, and above that, a piece of sky. The wall is made of rough stone. Pigeons nest inside its crevices. A rusty iron door, set into the part of the wall visible to the row's occupants, rouses the pigeons whenever it is opened, puts them in a flap, for the hinges creak so. Scream. The door leads into a cavernous storage room, where on even the warmest day the air is moist and chilly. A number of things are kept there. Stockpiles of metal used by the convicts to manufacture automobile license plates, lumber, old machinery, baseball paraphernalia, and also an unpainted wooden gallows that smells faintly of pine. For this is the state's execution chamber. When a man is brought here to be hanged, the prisoners say he has gone to the corner, or, alternatively, paid a visit to the warehouse. In accordance with the sentence of the court, Smith and Hickok were scheduled to visit the warehouse 6 weeks hence, at 1 minute after midnight on Friday, May 13th, 1960.